All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Welcome to episode 1132 of the Geek News Central podcast. Isn't that just a crazy number? Hey, everyone, it's Monday, July 25th. And this show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Or you can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider or just paypal.me/geeknews. You can always pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. I want to give a warm, warm welcome to the listeners of the show. Thanks for being here. Of course, the viewers as well. Those of you that are joining us either tonight on live stream, on YouTube, or on Facebook, thanks for being here live. And of course, if you're watching the show later on one of the multi-devices that we'll talk about in just a second, I definitely appreciate you tuning in. And I've got a great show lined up for you. Lots to share, lots to talk about. But I have to preface the beginning of the show here with just a little fact. Hawaii just went, over the past weekend, we had a tropical storm roll through. And here where I live, we only got about 5 inches of rain at my home. But the top location in Honolulu received about 15 and a half. And it was really over, and at least in Oahu, over about a 6, maybe 5 hour period. Here, the 5 or so inches came in from about midnight last night to about 4:45 a.m. when just the faucet was just turned off. So as this storm departs, the trades are not here. And we got, you know, we're basically soaked through to the bone, and the humidity is like where it never is. It is like at the top of the charts. You know, Honolulu and Hawaii in general, we don't get a lot of humidity here just because the trade winds keeps the humidity from rising, but we have no trade winds. The studio is about 80 right now, and I'm sure it's going to get hotter as the show goes on because I've closed the door to the rest of the house. So if you see me sweating tonight, those of you that are watching, you guys will know. And the rest of you just that are listening, I know that you're having massive heat waves throughout much of the United States right now, 100-plus degrees. So I know you're feeling sorry for me, but we don't have to run the AC here. And, and I actually told my wife last night, I think it's time to fire up the AC units. If nothing else, to take the edge off. And she just gave me the look, and we haven't run them. So, and plus, if I did it during the show, it'd be too hot. But anyway, I digress. I'm uncomfortable, but the show must go on. So welcome again to the Geek News Central podcast. Got a great show lined up for you tonight. And again, a warm welcome to the Ohana. If you're brand new, we want you to make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. And when you're at the website, just simply subscribe to the show and the newsletter. The link's there. Really, I'm going to tell you everything that you need. And you can get hooked up with the show on iTunes, on Subscribe by Android with our 13 app partners, via email, on Google Play, on Stitcher, on TuneIn. If that doesn't have you figured out, you can listen to the last 3 episodes by listening to Geek News Central Radio and catch the stream live, the last 3 episodes, and catch me mid-progress. We love it when you do that as well. And of course, get signed up for the newsletter, and you'll find that information a little further down on the website. So plenty of ways to stay connected with the show, and that's what we really want you to do, is stay connected and get subscribed. But visit Geek News Central Daily. Lots of great articles. I'll talk a little bit about some of the stuff I just put up over the weekend. And, of course, if you have comments on today's show, you can email me here. geeknews@gmail.com is the email address to use. And, of course, if you want to follow me on Twitter, @geeknews. I'm on Google Plus. I'm on Facebook. Matter of fact, many of you are watching on Facebook, or one of you at least is watching on Facebook right now. And so thanks for following or friending me or whatever it may be. Of course, you know, really this show is about, you know, distribution. If you're on, you have a Roku, just load the Tech Podcast channel on the Roku. If you have an Apple TV, just load the video edition of this show in the Apple TV. You can listen on Amazon Echo by telling Alexa to play the latest edition of this show and use the show name, and Alexa will just start playing the show. And then, of course, on Stitcher and, of course, on Blueberry.com. Of course, we've got lots of partner shows as well at GeekNewsCentral.com. We've got a lot of great team members. We've got the Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain, so definitely tune into Don's show. We got Health Tech Weekly with Mr. Jamie Davis. We've got No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff. We've got the Pro Gear site that is written by our team. And, of course, the new media show that's put together by Rob Greenlee and myself every Saturday that I'm in Honolulu or have access to the Internet. So lots of content to get connected with and more coming in short order. I've decided to go ahead and do a show called Podcast Legends, interviewing people that are been in the space a long time, and just start doing a collective diary of podcast of luminaries in the space, and just getting their story and how they started. And that will have at least as many people as I can interview over the next, let's say, 4 or 5 years to share what they are. And that site will launch at some point in the very, very near future. And we'll be doing some of the first interviews in the coming weeks on that. And it's another little project, and it's not going to be like every week there's going to be a new episode, but it's something that I've been wanting to do for a long, long time. And if nothing else, to collect the history that I already know, but I want it to be told by multiple people in of the entire podcasting space. So anyway, that's what's going on there with the show and what's happening with us and with me. But more importantly, what I want you to pay attention to, most importantly, is the offers we have from our sponsor over at GoDaddy.com. And GoDaddy's been a sponsor here since July. Yes, July of 2005. That makes this the 11th anniversary month that they have been sponsoring the show. And I'm happy to say you guys have knocked it out of the park this month. Again, we're seeing great numbers come in from that sponsorship. And you can go over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And all the codes are there. Everything that you need to get started. With a website, domain name, everything is there, and save a significant amount of cash. 30% on new product purchases. And this is really good if you're picking up a server, a VPS, picking up one of their cloud products, or if you get a new .com, 99 cents for that. Good for one-time use only. And then, of course, you can get an economy hosting or managed WordPress or a website builder for those of you that are business owners. Includes a free domain with all those economy hosting accounts. With all those hosting accounts, excuse me, $1 a month for the first 12 months. Make sure you look at the details of what the price reverts to after those 12 months. Use my code. Share them with friends, family members, people that you know. Link to this website via your Twitter post, your Facebook post. That's, you know, if you're not an insider and you're supporting, you know, listening to the show and have been listening for a while, every time you share my codes and links and link back to the website, it helps me grow the base of users that essentially use my codes. And recommended by your linking to the website and telling your friends and family about it. So thank you so much for all your great support this month. I'm really excited about that. It comes at a time of need, and I definitely appreciate your ongoing support of supporting GoDaddy as the sponsor of this podcast. And they should have a Guinness Book of World Record award for that. But I don't think that exists yet. I wonder what it costs to pay to have them come in and do that. That's something we ought to look at, right? Okay, so moving off, don't forget about our offer page at geeknewscentral.com/offers. Talk about that once in a while. It comes up. I want you to make sure that you realize that it's there. And lots of partner offers on that page. And we've added some recently. So, you know, this is, and what I'm trying to add to the offers page is stuff that you all are going to use on a regular basis. You know, you guys all know I'm a big fan of the Sonos speaker system, beautiful sound out of these. So if you ever look to pick up a Sonos package, definitely come to the offers page. If you're going to rent a car. Hertz is my favorite car rental car company to rent from. Fandango. Definitely pick up your movie tickets. And if you come here and click with your mobile device on this, this basically helps out the show a lot. I'm a lifetime, or not a lifetime, about a two-year user of LifeLock. I really like the service a lot. So that's one of the offers that's on the page now as well. So got all, you know what I like about LifeLock the most? And I know a lot of people say, oh, to protect your credit and all this other stuff. It will inform you when you have a sex offender move into your neighborhood. And I've gotten two or three of those alerts this year alone. Nothing close to my house, but maybe as a crow flies within a quarter mile. And so, I guess if you're, depending on where you live, that might be considered close. But, you know, I'm in a residential neighborhood with lots of houses. So, but it does give me an idea where, you know, a potential bad person is living. And that it gives me a little bit of a heads up. So that's something cool that they provide with that service. But anyway, just a once in a while mention of that page for you guys to go over and check out. Okay, so let me go ahead and get in my little stack here so we get on to the regular part of the show. Friday, my wife says, come on, we're going somewhere. I'm like, where are we going? She says, well, you'll see when we get there. And she had me load up a bunch of stuff, shelves, cubbies, storage containers. And I'm like, were you donating this? Just, you know, help me fill the car. So I filled my SUV to the rim. My son still had a place to sit down, but we had this thing full of cabinets, shelves, stuff that we don't need anymore. And jumped in the car and she's driving and I'm like, where are we going? She goes, we're going to Anna's house. And of course, Anna's my daughter. It's not living at home anymore. And we went to her small, and in Honolulu, when I say small apartment, it's like a living room. It's maybe 10 by 15 and a bathroom, and then a bedroom, maybe 10 by 10. I think $1,600 a month or something like that. It's what they pay. So, she just basically, my wife had gotten fed up of going over there and them not really being organized. So she took it upon mom duties to go in and spend the next 4 hours helping my daughter organize her apartment to her satisfaction. I'll be honest with you, Chris and I just watched TV. And I found out why I was having trouble with my Redbox my Netflix subscription, because as soon as I turned on her Netflix, it was my Netflix. And I'm like, now I understand why sometimes I can't get into Netflix. We talked about that a little bit. But anyway, that's what I spent Friday night doing. And then dinner, if those on Facebook saw that, it was nice. Found this new hole-in-the-wall Chinese place. Oh my God, was it good. Absolutely good. So if you're coming to Honolulu, I've got a cubby for you, a little cubby hole restaurant to suggest, let me know. But did a little financial counseling with my daughter because I accidentally opened up her credit card bill. Oh boy, she's out of control. So we talked about that. But anyway, that's what's going on here, and get you caught up with the Ohana stuff and the family. But let's get into the tech. I have a full stack of stuff for you. For those of you that are new to the show, just so you know, for 1,132 episodes, we spend a little bit of time at the beginning of every podcast just to talk. And then we get into the tech. If you don't want to listen to the talk, you can usually scrub ahead 12, 13, 14 minutes, and that about gets you into the content. I really want you, though, to not do that. I want you to be part of the Ohana, be part of the family here. And, you know, as you're sending emails to the show, tell me what's going on with you, with your family, along with any content links that you may want me to cover during the show. So that is how I get to know you better. And we find out and, you know, really keep track of the face of the show, of who you guys are that are out there listening. So anyway, I've jibber-jabbered enough. Let me do some rearranging here of the system And let me see what we've got. I got some folks on YouTube too. Thank you so much for coming on and watching today on YouTube. And if any of you are watching on live stream, I definitely appreciate that. Okay, so first thing I want to talk about tonight. And, you know, I don't know what Verizon really was thinking. Paying $4.83 billion to buy Yahoo. I haven't been on Yahoo. And the only thing I think I've used with Yahoo in the past 5 years is Flickr. I think that's the only thing of their product line that I use today. Now, I'm sure there's more embedded stuff, and I'm sure that they made a great purchase, but I think this will go down in the annual investment of one of the worst deals ever. The Verizon team had to be sitting back tonight and giggling and laughing their butts off that they were able to scam nearly $5 billion out of Verizon. Now, don't get me wrong, that, you know, getting $5 billion out of Verizon is, taking a little hit to their bottom line is always, in my opinion, a good thing, because it just gives them less operating capital to do naughty things that they do in the space, just like they've done recently by, you know, shutting down high usage users. So, you know, 4.83, you know, when Yahoo launched back in, let's go way back. This is 94. So let me give you those of you that haven't been around the internet very long, or those of you that don't remember 1994. So let me just give you a little timeline for those of you that are kind of up to speed. From 84 to 87, I had just joined the military. And the 8088 computer was not even existent yet. It was coming. And then 88 to 91, I was 88 to 91, I was in Lemoore, California, started running a bulletin board in 1991. And then 91 to 94, thereabouts, I was living in Guam and running a full-on bulletin board system, just starting to get on the internet, and really things kind of really kicked off big for the net in 94. Now, you know, Jerry Yang launched Yahoo in 94, and he was a Stanford University grad student. He launched it with a gentleman by the name of David Filo, and it was Jerry's and David's Guide to the World Wide Web, which months later they renamed it to Yahoo, and Yahoo went fast. They went public in 96, and when they offered its stocks in an IPO, the shares went up 154% during the first day, reaching $43 per share before going back down, excuse me, to 33. Now, Yahoo stock hit an all-time high in 2000 before the first bubble blew out. Now, up to this point, most of us were probably still, I don't think I got my first cable modem until, let's see here, we moved to Hawaii in 94, 97. Moved here in early 97, if I'm thinking correctly. Maybe early 98, one of the two. 97, how old's Ray? 18, okay, so ultimately, what happened then was you were first getting on the first kind of high speed, and when you had a website then, I had the bulletin board was still up online. It made the transition to the internet. And I had a number of domains, not like I do now, which is, you know, I've always told you guys it's a huge number of domains, nearly 300 at this point. But you had to go over to Yahoo and submit your site. And then you went through this approval process and you got in their directory. So they were the first true directory. And everyone worked their listings to try to be ranked, and it was not a simple process. But that's how it was done in the early days. You had to go in, and every site they had a directory, you had to submit it. And that's why Yahoo was so big in the very, very beginning. They were a huge directory, news service, all these things that was going on. But from that point forward, Yahoo started kind of descending. They acquired the acquired Flickr in March of 2005. Then they blew it. Microsoft came in 2006, 2007, 2008 time range, and they expressed it. Now, we were already doing the show here, and we covered this extensively back then. But Microsoft tried to buy Yahoo. Instead, they ended up doing some, you know, content media exchanging deal. And they were going to give them $44.6 billion. Oh, Microsoft, congratulations. You made a good choice walking away. There was a lot of people upset that they didn't do this deal. So it moves forward then, and in a series of musical chairs of CEOs came through, and it really, you know, a lot of shuffling happened. They had Bartz, they had Scott Thompson, and then finally they brought in Marissa Mayer in 2012. Of course, everyone knows her. She ran for president. I kind of personally like her. And I think, you know, in business deals, you know, she maybe hasn't done as great, but, you know, she laid off a bunch of staff in February of this year. So today, you know, Verizon lays out $4.8 billion for Yahoo. And I think they've got a turd. I really, really do. I think they, I don't know how they bring Yahoo back. And I guess it's, you know, they're saying it's still doing good, but I fully don't understand it, to be honest with you. Now, Mayer's going to get $200-some million as a bonus. So congratulations to her. Stockholders are going to get some money out of this. Jerry Yang is obviously going to, you know, do very well. But he could have split up almost $50 billion from Microsoft before and did not do it. Talk about blunders of a lifetime. Bad deal decisions. Think about this. You own Jerry Yang, has this big bunch of stock. He could have multiple billions of dollars, you know, in the buyout by Microsoft. And instead, he might get half a billion or whatever his percentage ends up being. Colossal mistake by Yahoo not to have sold to Microsoft before. And I'm sure I can, if he still has stock in him, is not happy. Yeah. I guess they still were able to raise, you know, like $1.6 billion in revenue in 2015. So if you think about it, they did three times valuation or revenue, three times revenue. 1.6 times three is 4.8. So I guess it makes sense. But I don't, it shocks me that 600 million people actually still use Yahoo. I don't get email from people from Yahoo. What are people using Yahoo for? You guys help me. Help me, please. Geeknews@gmail.com. All right. Okay. So this is, I heard about this deal yesterday and I'm just like, I'll be honest with you. Suckers, 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 suckers. You're idiots. If I had $4.8 billion laying around, I'd go talk to Elon Musk and say, what can I invest in you? Or I would go talk to Amazon and say, well, what can I invest in you? You know, what can I put in, you know, can I get some stock from you? I'm not going to spend $4.8 billion on Yahoo. Which, you know, for those of you that have been around a while, you'll get a chuckle out of that because you know where that comes from. But was this stupid or what? Am I the only person on the planet think this is a monumentally dumb deal? Love to hear your feedback. Geeknews@gmail.com. All right. Okay. So, you know, I'm going to have to talk about this. But I'm going to start off today talking about Facebook. Facebook admits today it blocked links to WikiLeaks DNC emails. Facebook admitted it briefly, they don't say how many hours, blocked links to WikiLeaks files containing internal Democratic National Committee emails. They said, oh, our automated system blocked it to make sure it wasn't spam. Okay, that was what they said. Twitter also has been accused of taking down, when this broke, hashtags that were trending. They actually, because of the outcry of this, had to put another hashtag back up with an S on the extension, playing stupid. So Facebook and Twitter tried to suppress this, in my opinion. Maybe they didn't. Maybe it was truly an automated system. But people noticed, and they talked about it. Now, I heard something ridiculous today, and I'm sure many of you have heard this on the news, and you maybe are really tired of it. But I want to give you a little bit of Common Sense 101. And those of you that are Democrats that listen to the show, I want you to think here logically for me. So today the story is that the Russians hacked the DNC. And somehow they're in collusion with Trump because they want Trump to win because they're scared of Hillary. I have heard nothing more ridiculous in my whole life. Traditionally, most foreign countries are not super excited about conservatives being in office because they're big on defense, right? Big on defense, difficult on treaties, this type of stuff. And, you know, smaller government, supposedly, and half of them don't do that anymore. But why would Putin be scared of Hillary in office, which to me is doesn't make any sense, number one. But yet, this is the story they're going to tell. They're going to blame it on someone else, you know, divert and point away. But yet, why was their operation using services like Yahoo and Gmail? And also the committee, the people that worked at the DNC, why did they have a unsecure server in which the FBI not once but twice warned them that they had an issue and were probably being hacked? They were warned twice by the FBI, but yet took no action. Whoever the IT guy over there either had his head so far up someone else's butt or was so incompetent that if you get a message from the FBI saying, hey, your servers might be being attacked by a state-sponsored group, would you not, like, pull the plug? Would you not just walk over to, you know, you tell the leadership, hey, we got to go email dark for like a number of hours. Wouldn't you just unplug the servers or tell the data company that's got the servers to unplug those bad boys while you got in there and fixed whatever the issue was? I'm not even going to go into the content of the emails. You guys can read that yourself, you know. But I'll tell you, the number one thing is going to happen when... if if Hillary wins the presidency, the first day she gets in office, her executive action will be no email. We're going to go back to carrier pigeons. And even those will have explosives tracked on them to with GPS trackers. If they go to the wrong pigeon box, we're going to blow them up. She's not going to allow emails to be used anywhere. Pen, paper, nothing. There will be no transactional record of anything that happens in a HRC office. Let's just be, come on. She email to her is now, instead of being a 5-letter word, is a 4-letter word. So, and if WikiLeaks has more data, no matter who, oh my goodness. Now, you think about the pain that WikiLeaks caused the DOD and other government agencies and all the stuff that went on over there. And, this is why this guy's in exile, because, they want to arrest him. And, he has to hang out in an embassy because he can't get out. And DOD and government people are banned from actually going to the WikiLeaks site. I mean, there is directives. They can't go. They're not allowed to go to the WikiLeaks site if they're, in a position of trust. So here you have, now not only did they release a whole bunch of stuff from the government they put on there, but now they've got the DNC's data and who knows what else. Now, if they are in cahoots with the Russians, so be it. If they want to cause trouble, that's what they're going to do. But it doesn't excuse what's in the email content. And I read through the subject lines on a site that probably had 100, and I thought, oh my God, unbelievable. And no wonder there was chaos today. But, again, whether or not the Russians hacked DNC means nothing concerning the details of what's in those email stuff. And so it just, to me, is completely blown away. Now, this isn't being talked about a lot, but if you start looking at the websites that are, doing some deep digging on this, one of the consultants was using Yahoo Mail, and they got a message from Yahoo saying, important action required. We strongly suspect that your account has been the target of state-sponsored actors. She didn't get this warning once, she got it twice. And the folks at Yahoo says, hey, we don't send that message unless, man, it's like big time serious. It says, a Yahoo spokesperson said that the pop-up warning to, and this lady's name, I believe, was Chalupa. And if I said that wrong, I'm sorry. Chalupa appears to be one of our notifications, and it said it was consistent with a new policy announced by you on its Tumblr page last December to notify customers when it has strong evidence of state-sponsored cyber attacks. Rest assured, we only send these notifications of suspected attacks by state-sponsored actors when we have a high degree of confidence, wrote Bob Lord, the company's chief information security officer. So they knew that they were being targeted. And there's also signs that the hackers have penetrated the personal, listen to this, personal emails of some of Clinton's campaign staffers. Why is a campaign, this just blows my mind. She's got millions of dollars, right? They've raised millions of dollars for donors. How come they can't afford an IT guy to assign email accounts, secure email accounts with double authentication and all the stuff that goes along with that? But yet you have staffers using personal email addresses again. Two of them were in communication with senior DNC staff members. How can you be so stupid? They've already just went through a year's worth of hell in congressional reviews with the FBI coming out and said you are reckless in handling your email at state, and yet you're doing email on personal email servers or not on a campaign server where they can be locked down? What insanity. What absolute insanity. it boggles my mind. You know, it's what it tells me is that these individuals obviously have never worked in corporate America where they have to worry. Number one, in corporate America, if you're part of a corporation that is a NASDAQ or listed on a stock exchange, you have to comply with Sarbanes-Oxley and email retention. Number two, if you are in corporate America, you can absolutely be guaranteed that an IT guy is going to have your email locked down where you're going to have a token. You're going to have some sort of second-party authentication to get into an email account. You're not just going to be able to use a personal email account when you're working in some corporate American account. It doesn't happen. And the reason for that is because what are they worried about? They got an IT guy that takes care of the security, keeps the server secure to the best of their ability, and then hope that these state-sponsored actors aren't going to come in and the Chinese aren't going to hack their machines and get in and pull their corporate data. It still happens to even the best, but yet you have individuals that are in communication with the potential president of the United States talking about campaign strategy on a personal email account. They deserve it. They deserve to have this happen to them. Some of you are going to howl at my commentary. But let us be straight. It just shows you, I think it's indicative. And maybe the Republicans do the same thing. Who the hell knows? Maybe they're the same way. Yeah, maybe they're next. Who, you know, wouldn't that be interesting? But if nothing else, some lessons that they're going to learn here is that they need to put some money on having a team that secures their community. Okay, if you're going to use personal email accounts, then why don't you encrypt that email? Very simple to encrypt email. When I'm sharing login data or any types of stuff with my team, when it goes out the email, it's encrypted. Not a high-level encryption, but it's enough to keep nosy noses away in case my email is hacked. Because you got to assume it's going to be at some point, right? So you got to keep that stuff that is like the keys to the car, the keys to the server, or everything that is, the golden key to get you in to bring my enterprise down. That stuff, you don't put that in open communications between team members within a domain and within an email service. No way, no how. And what did it take for us to do encryption? About 3 minutes with a plug-in. You know, that's about how long it took. I'm doing it on every email, just, things that are, sensitive, that if it was, if it was hacked, could cause my enterprise to have challenges. And most of the time, I pick up the phone and say, by the way, the password is, or the login is, we don't, only do stuff when we have to via email like that. So I'm going to let you guys can go look at the details of the email itself. We're not going to get into the politics of that. But, when you write an email, you have to assume in today's age that email is going to get compromised. Especially if you're sending from DNC.com to Yahoo to Gmail to, and if you're communicating with media groups like they're doing to MSNBC or whoever they're talking to, that stuff's going to be, something's going to happen. You don't put comments that cause people to resign. You have to, the fallout isn't over. Heads are going to roll. If there was an IT guy, he's done. It just shows the ineptitude of them implementing technology. And I'm astonished. I truly am. Because I think, you know, I'm thinking to myself, if I'm the Democrat National Committee or the Republican National Committee, doesn't matter, or the Libertarian group, let's put them all under the same window. If I'm one of those three, I know that someone is going to be trying to snoop around. They're going to do that. That's the way politics are. They as much information as they can get, they're going to collect. They're going to go after it in a big, big way, right? Any little piece of paper that they can get that shows a strategy, dirt that they have someone on, this is a nasty, dirty business, politics. Would you not be like, we need to have our servers set up like Fort Knox? I want to be assured that there's like 5 layers of protection, that the double authentication, that, you know, would you not just assume that your data is going to be under the attack of a hacker? For me, I'm paranoid. I'd be like, you know, I'm not worried about the Russians. I'm worried about the Republicans coming and getting the Democrats' data and the Democrats coming and getting the Republicans' data. I'm not worried about the Russians. You know, come on, let's be honest. So, but anyway, love to hear your thoughts on this one, geeknews@gmail.com. And I'm just astonished. I really, really am. And I'm sure many of you who are Democrat aligned, you're probably pretty pissed off today and embarrassed at the same time. I think there's going to be a lot more embarrassment coming for both sides before this is all over. This cycle is unlike anything we've ever seen. So, I told you, buy popcorn. It's going to be entertaining. It's definitely entertaining to me for sure at this point. Okay. Stop. Change topics. Well, thanks for the comments, Rita, on chat. Oh, if this episode doesn't get any responses, you guys are all like comatose. Hey, first U.S. approved drone delivery drops off donuts from 7-Eleven. Man, I wonder if they deliver it to a police officer. So, 7-Eleven has made a deal with a company called Flirty, F-I-L-R-T-E-Y. And they delivered donuts, coffee, and what else? Hot coffee, donuts, and a chicken sandwich. It definitely sounds like it could have been delivered to a police officer squad car. But anyway, 7-Eleven delivery by drone. And it's on, this article is on MNN, the Mother Nature Network. I'll have the link up in the show notes. So congratulations to 7-Eleven. Also, there's a great article about a new drone called the KX2. And the KX2 is using VR headsets to actually fly and control. So, pretty inexpensive drone, but very expensive VR headset. But the QX2, which is, again, the optional goggles that go along with it, is pretty awesome. And the guy said, I felt like I was a bird, but he did crash a few times. He didn't have as much control because turning his head up and down is how we got the drone to fly. But link will be up in the show notes. It won't be very long before we're all going to be wearing VR headsets, and, you know, we just, instead of ever getting up, what's that movie where they they put all the people on a ship and oh, what is the name of that? It's a stupid movie, but everyone got fat and just hung out and nothing but ate and was connected to, you know, entertainment all the time. That's what we're headed towards. Hey, the KAT community, Kickass Torrent community, resurrects their website without torrents. They put up a community website so that the KAT users could at least hang out. And I guess talk about copyright infringement. So there's no torrents on the website, but anyway, that's up. If you guys heard my son cheering in the back. They're walking, they're watching, my wife and him are watching American Ninja or something where the, you know, they're doing through those obstacle courses. So someone just made it because I heard him cheering in the background. Here's an article out by CNET talking about Apple losing out on innovation. There's a new study out. Who is it done by? Research consultancy Brand Keys. In the first 2 weeks of July, asked 4,000 adult consumers which tech company spontaneously came to mind as innovative. Apple's last year's winner dipped to number 4. And Cupertino thought, though it wasn't alone in slipping down the innovative pool, Samsung fell from number 3 to number 5. Microsoft went from 11 to 18. Apple, Samsung, and Microsoft didn't immediately respond to requests for comments from CNET. But who was number 1, 2, and 3? Google is now seen as the most innovative. The self-driving cars may be exciting people. Right behind Google is now Amazon. Facebook ranked number 3. I don't know if Facebook would be considered innovative. Right now, Facebook is being considering driving many people crazy, but at least until November, maybe beyond that. But those are the 3 that are considered to be innovative. I have to agree with Google and Amazon. I think Amazon actually is doing more. Personally, I think Amazon is the top of the heap at this point, based on stuff they're doing with Alexa. Revolutionary stuff, folks. If you don't have an Echo or a Dot, you ought to consider it. It's changing things here in my household a lot. Hackers, you gotta love this. How many of you got TSA locks for your suitcases? Let me give you a little advice. Just take those things and throw them in the trash. There's not been a single TSA lock that I have locked on any suitcase in the past 5 years that did not come up missing on the other end. The TSA must have like garbage cans full of TSA locks. I don't know what it is. They just don't make it. Either they open them and they forget to lock the suitcase back up, too busy. Who knows? But hackers of now, they really are worthless because hackers created what's called Safe Skies TSA master keys from scratch. On Saturday evening during the 11th HOPE conference in New York City, 3 hackers released the final master key used by the Transportation Security Administration, which opens Safe Skies luggage locks. The talk was given by someone called DarkSim905, a lock enthusiast who heads the New Jersey chapter of the Open Organization of Lock Pickers. Night Owl, a member of the tool, they call that the Open Organization of Lock Pickers tool from New York City, and Johnny Christmas of Red Leg International were able to do it. They released a 3D model of Safe Skies Masters available on the internet. So now the master keys are out there. And they did it over like 3 hours. Yeah, real secure, right? Those locks aren't secure. Come on, please. Did you guys heard about Facebook bots? I didn't know this existed. In case you were watching, seeing the sweat come off me. Facebook bots are out there now, and they actually will talk to you. The chat bots are coming. Ready to take your pizza order, answer your technical support questions, and even help you respond to your friends' pictures in the most predictable way. We're still in the very early days of the bot revolution on Facebook Messenger, but there's a few handful that are actually worth shooting the breeze with. The easiest way to find new bots on Facebook is through Botlist. The site also covers chat bots and other platforms like Slack as well. Once you've found one you want to chat to, you can jump straight to Messenger on the web, start your conversation, or open up some the same links in Messenger mobile apps. These are the 10 most useful. Number 1 is the Alex Wiki Messenger bot. It reads articles from Wikipedia. Number 2 is Dinner Ideas. Number 3 is Dig. Number 4 is Hipmunk. Hipmunk tries to find you cheap travel. Number 5 is What's On, and I believe that is probably it's just a trivia question system. I thought that would have been like a TV thing. Sequel Stories tells tales based on interactions with fiction. Okay, whatever. So anyway, there's a number of these bots that will talk to you. And I saw this thing, I thought, this is kind of cool, because what happens with our support team is we answer the same questions again and again. We've got about 25 of our top answered questions, 12 asked questions, and it's basically a cut paste to be able to respond to people when they're having an issue or troubleshooting thing. It'd be real nice to create one of these bots so that they could go in and ask the question and get the answer. So I'm going to definitely be looking at the Facebook bots, but if you want to chat with one, I'll give you the link to the field guide where you can check it out yourself. Hey, the United States Air Force and Engadget's been talking about a lot of stuff that is military related recently. They're the U.S. Special Forces are getting a missile sub delivery vehicle. And what this really is this is just a submersible that will deliver a Special Operation Forces team someplace via underwater delivery. They'll take them in close to where they need to go. I guess the operators then get down in a pressure containment system. They flood it and they kick them out. They don't shoot them out like missiles. They swim out. But Lockheed has been given the contract for this, $166 million. How many are they going to make? Three? Yeah, we'll carry a team of six divers to an underwater location in a completely dry environment. So this is kind of cool. Cool stuff that Lockheed is being asked to create a contract. So I guess that must have been a publicly announced contract. Also, a gentleman in Florida, he stole some Bitcoins. He went to went to court over it. And this was a money laundering case. And the case was dismissed by the judge in Miami that ruled that Bitcoin is not money. She said Bitcoin is a decentralized system. It does not have a central authority, and Bitcoins are not backed by anything. They are certainly not tangible wealth and cannot be hidden under a mattress like cash or gold bars. So this guy embezzled or money laundered Bitcoins and get out of jail free card by the judge. But the judge did sentence him to basically teaching law enforcement in Florida about Bitcoin. So while he didn't get out completely free, he isn't going to jail, but he is going to be teaching law enforcement about Bitcoin. So that's interesting in itself. And just think about that. Some states already have laws on the books that treat Bitcoins just like money. So just be aware of that out there. I believe New York City. What else? Delaware. There was a list. Where was the list? Yeah, I guess New York has been successful in winning convictions tied to Bitcoins. But the Florida legislature may have to go to work to get that taken care of. Hey, hackers developed a jailbreak for iOS 9.3.3. So this is new. This is something new. It's called PP Helper, a jailbreak tool developed and revealed by Chinese hacking group Pangu Team. The latest version of Apple's mobile operating system 9.3.3 added several security improvements, but no significant new features. And they found a way to jailbreak it. So if you're jailbreaking your iOS device, that is available. A new MPAA front group pretending to represent consumer interest is now slamming Cloudflare for not censoring the internet. I use Cloudflare as my one of my firewall services that I use on Geek News Central for my website. And they've kept us online when there's been denial of service attacks, because yes, my site has been attacked in the past. But this group called Digital Citizen is not what they seem. They are sponsored by the music industry. So the organization formed 2012, partly as a response to MPAA's big loss around SOPA. Recognizing it needed to change tactics, that MPAA basically helped get DCA off the ground, push scare stories about horrible internet companies, enabling bad things online, and how new laws and policies have been created to stop those evil internet companies. So just remember, not everything is as it seems. Just remember that. What you see in the news, stuff being talked about, There's often an agenda behind it, especially if it's an organization that has some name. You have to go back and figure out where, follow the money, go back and see who's funding the stories that they're feeding. So link will be up in the show notes if you want more information on that. Good news for you thinking about buying a Ford. And I love the latest Ford vehicles. I'll be honest with you. If I was to go out right now and replace my vehicle, which I'm not because I run cars until the wheels fall off, or if I hit the lotto, then I might go out and buy a new car. But Ford commits to Apple CarPlay, offering it with Sync 3 for all 2017 vehicles. This is big. Now, they were talking about hedging Sync 3 to be able to work with Android and CarPlay. But right as of right now, with CarPlay enabled, anyone running an iPhone 5 or later can connect their phone to their vehicle dashboard for displaying directions, using phone functions, listening to music, podcasts, accessing Siri. So anyway, this is exciting. So again, some of the Ford 2017 lineup is already online, so this will be probably a patch to Sync 3. But I'd assume that they were going to, based on what they showed off at CES, that they were going to allow you to switch between iOS and Android. Right now, it's only to iOS. So I don't know what the compatibility issue is, why they haven't included Android, but you can buy aftermarket stuff that does both. We've talked about those types of receivers from Panasonic and so forth that basically pick your poison when you get in your car. And as a matter of fact, it'll detect who you are by a fob, and it'll load up in CarPlay or load up in Android, depending what you have in your home. All right, any of you that have a Fiat Chrysler car, they recalled 410,000 vehicles. The recall affects a 2015 Jeep Renegade, 2014-2015 Jeep Cherokee, 2015 Ram Pro Master City, and the 2015 Chrysler 200. Of the 410,000 vehicles being recalled, about 323,000 were located here in the United States, others in Canada. This is some sort of a performance issue. The problem lies with a single part of the vehicle's wiring harness. An insufficient crimp might lead to a solenoid fault code, which could cause the engine to stall, which is not good if you're running down the highway at 80 miles per hour and doing a lane change or passing and have a semi in front of you. That's not the time for your engine to stall. So again, the recall extends to vehicles, badges, Jeep, Ram, and Chrysler. All right. The new Google Assistant settings, boy, this is exciting. Google's really working towards making Android an Alexa competitor. The Google Assistant showed up in previous builds. There's lots more to be found in version 6.2. Changes or things that they found in the code. Talks about to be an access music, news, daily briefs, Google Assistant, connected home, something called Google Cast, which I don't know anything about. I need to do some Googling around about that. Shopping lists and services. They've been able to do some voice shortcuts along with getting access to your Google account, activity, and information about you. So this Google Assistant is kind of exciting. We'll see where it leads. This is the race right now we're in. All right, John Oliver's story on campaign music and copyright. Well, guess what? He was wrong. You've heard many of these people say, I don't want that candidate to play that music. I'm telling them and demanding that they take it down. Well, not so fast. John Oliver slammed the Republican National Committee for using some music against the music holders' wishes. Well, it's all good for this as a good talking point. But if the Clinton campaigns play something at the DNC this weekend, there's going to be some other artists that are going to complain, but they don't have a leg to stand on because in nearly all cases, politicians using these music at an event have the proper license. They don't need to get permission from the musician so long as either the campaign or the venue have ASCAP or BMI blanket licenses, which they almost always do. Of course, we've heard about one that didn't, which was Cruz, who had to pay a fine. The whole point of ASCAP BMI licenses is that you don't need to get individual permission from the artist or their publisher. There are instances occasionally where politicians ridiculously don't have such a license. But that was the Cruz campaign. But it's pretty rare, and there may be a few other narrow exceptions, such as if there's an implied endorsement by the musician, but that's rarely the case. Unfortunately, the song from John Oliver and Friends ignore all of that, even stating directly at one point that the politician to use music, you have to first call the publisher. Again, that's not how it works. If the artist puts the music into the catalog to be licensed, it is authorized to be played no matter what they say. The ASCAP and BMI have already taken care of that. The artist would have to pull their music out of the inventory completely. Otherwise, it's just a talking point. People can bitch and complain. This played such and such music, but guess what? Tough. Now, it's probably not good to keep playing it and get negative sound bites. Hey, the Xbox One has dropped to $249, now half of its original launch day price. So that's available. Oh, I knew this was going to happen. Why didn't I buy stock? Why didn't I buy stock and short it? Todd, you're dumb, 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 dumb. Pokemon Go, when it launched, Nintendo had this stratospheric increase in stock price. We talked about on this show that Niantic is the company that made the game, and they're in a partnership deal with Nintendo they've licensed it, and they're probably paying royalties, but Nintendo came out and said, we're not going to make very much money on a Pokemon Go game. Every one of us, gosh, we could have all went and bought Nintendo stock and shorted every last bit of it, and we'd all of us right now would be rich. Nintendo posted its worst drop in 26 years today after the company poured cold water on the notion the explosive popularity of Pokemon Go would translate into steady profits. Unfortunately, for investors, the worst may be yet to come. The Kota-based firm was still valued 109 times projected net income after money's plunge, or more than 6 times the average of the Nikkei 225 index. The company has already said it doesn't expect Pokemon Go will yield enough profit to increase its earnings outlook for the fiscal year. Yeah, because the deal they have, probably Niantic got a heck of a deal. So good for Niantic. Too bad for Nintendo. You've been slow to move and to expand your ability to reach people. You know, become an obsolete product. You're trying. Hey, Facebook and Twitter helped catch suspected militants in Brazil. So they had some folks that were planning to do nasty things during the Olympics. So Facebook and Twitter cooperated. Authorities helped track down 12 suspected militants who are planning to attack the Rio Olympics. So 12 are off the street thanks to Facebook and Twitter. All right, so I'm just going to give you a careful visual here. And I have a little fun with this particular article. So today, you go on a journey. Let's say you go climb the, let's say you just go to California or you go out into Utah and you go across the desert. And you're feeling the urge to, how should we say it, relieve yourself. And not number one, number two. And, you do your business and, you use whatever's handy to, clean up, and you continue walking. And 2,000 years from now, some scientist goes across the desert and finds this present you have left. Well, scientists in China have found a 2,000-year-old toilet paper. And they have gotten a whiff of life on the Silk Road in China. They found a area where there was a lodge. And they found these 2,000-year-old toilet wipes. When you see these things, you're going to be like, no way. What have I used that down there? But anyway, there was still some, how should we say it, 2,000-year-old poop on these ancient wipe sticks, as they call them. And they were able to take some samples and able to send them off. And scientists were able to determine that some of these folks that were in this area had some bacteria and some intestinal worms that no way could have originated from that area and originated in a different part of China. So they were going to make some deductions on how far people had transversed from home. And they talked a little bit about probably how their guts felt about the travel as well. But who would have imagined, you know, I'm sure these guys 2,000 years ago were like, you know, this, you know, they had no clue that 2,000 years later, someone would be examining their stool. So if you've ever left a present somewhere, folks, when you've been out and about camping or in some place where it's kind of dry and not very, you know, doesn't get too much water, who knows, 2,000 years, someone might be examining your stool as well. It's crazy. I mean, you know, this, you just can't, some of this stuff is just, is too strange. I'm telling you. All right, Windows 10, next week, some updates. Key security features coming to Windows 10. Protects data at rest locally and on removable storage. Common experience across all Windows 10 devices with copy and paste protections. Ships in Windows 10 anniversary update. I guess these are prevents unauthorized apps from accessing business data. So it's a lot, looks like a lot of business stuff to protect data. And it's called Windows Information Protection, aims to make it possible for organizations to compartmentalize businesses and personal data on the same device. It comes alongside the general release of Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection System that uses machine learning and Microsoft Cloud to better protect businesses. So this stuff is primarily for the IT guys out there that are running Windows 10 installations. It is going to cost you a little money to run this on each particular desktop. So I don't think these features are going to really help us lowly people that are just running Windows 10. If you do use Google Maps, Google Maps has got a cleaner look for areas of interest. If you're now like in New York City or in LA and you see areas are highlighted in yellow in Google Maps, if you zoom in on that particular area, it's going to give you information like historic pubs, museums, studios, you know, just places of interest, areas of interest, and it's going to be covered in within what's called an orange shade on the actual map. So if, as you're getting a Google Map update, keep aware of that. I have no idea how much this video card costs. I want one, but I'm sure it costs more than I probably make in a year. NVIDIA's Quadro P6000 GPU packs 24 gigs of RAM and can drive up to 4K screens at 120 hertz. No price. I bet you this bad boy is about $6,000-$8,000. But for those of you super users out there that do CAD and CAM or do high-end gaming graphics, this thing has 3,840 cores and 24 gigs of GDDR5X memory, and it supports 432 gigabits per second of memory bandwidth. So again, four DisplayPort 1.4 slots on this particular device. Ready for new iPhone? iPhone 7, tipped to launch on September 16th. So, you know, we've seen lots of projections of what the new iPhone is going to look like. And if the screen will come up, I don't think it's going to load. But again, iPhone 7, September 16th, and this falls in line with previous dates that iOS has been launched on. Where did this come from? Okay. Getting an ad from a web page. Which one did that come from? I don't see the little speaker button. Doesn't matter. There's a, you know, for satellites, they often rely on what's called a reaction wheel. Oh, that's where it's coming from. Naughty, naughty CNET. They rely on a reaction wheel or constantly spinning flywheels to tweak their attitude without using fuel. And a new company, I'm actually familiar with this company, has developed a motor that will spin, and it's called Celotron, C-E-L-E-R-O-T-O-N, Celotron. They have found a better way. They've created a magnetically levitated motor. And you geeks out there are going to love this thing. This is really awesome stuff. So let's see if we can, there we go. Get it there in the screen for you to see. But this thing was spinning 150,000 RPMs without wearing out or creating vibrations or requiring any special lubricants, you know, because in space, it's pretty cold up there. You have to provide heaters sometimes to these types of motors, but this is going to be perfect for CubeSats or even satellites that are out there. Once they get this thing refined, because of the high speed, they're going to be able to, you know, control pitch, roll, yaw of a satellite just by spinning these things up and doing what they do to be able to, with a much smaller package. I don't know if you ever saw the one that went up the International Space Station, but it was like bigger than like my arm width. It's huge, the flywheel that they use to help keep the International Space Station, you know, on axis and where it needs to be pointed to. So they always keep an extra one on station. They're that critical. So anyway, that's going to wrap up the normal program, but I do have some cool stuff from coasttocoastam.com. And you're going to want to look at this. In Japan, a ghost, let me see if I can bring this up. I don't dare play the video because it's a YouTube video and you know how they are on copyright stuff. But long story short, those of you that are watching, you can see the image behind the guy that's getting ready to get in a cab. And I played this thing about 10 times, flipping it through, trying to figure out if it was an optical illusion or something going on. It's enough to make your old skin crawl, give you a double chicken skin. So I'll have that link up in the show notes from the folks over at Coast to Coast AM on the paranormal side. Along with that, hey, in New York City, people thought they saw a UFO. You're not going to believe what this was. It was an eyebrow-raising video of an alleged UFO hovering over New York City. But instead, it was signage. The signage made a subsequent appearance in the skies over the GOP convention this week, which or last week, and it was basically had a message for basically locking up Hillary Clinton. So I will just let you say that there was no UFO, but it was it did hover. It did look like a UFO, but it was basically a message board. So, kind of getting funny. Also, imagine you come home, you're hanging out, you know, some things in your house don't quite look right, but you know, you kind of scratch your head and say, what's going on? But it turns out that you've got a stranger living in your attic. Some dude came home, no kidding, was in his bed, heard something rustling above him. It wasn't a rat. It was some woman that was living in his attic. So I just thought I would share that at the end of the show for giggles for all of you. Anyway, let me see what I've got for email comments that have come in. Let me load this up. And it's here. Today is the 25th. The last show was on the 21st. Oh, Solar Impulse has landed in Dubai. Congratulations for making the Abu Dhabi in the United Arab Emirates. They landed this afternoon at my time, about 4 p.m. my time local, which would have been about 10 o'clock Eastern, or I think it's 000 on GMT. Again, congratulations for them completing the historic around-the-world flight. I don't know what comes next. I don't know if they bust down the airplane, if they... Yeah, I have no clue what comes next, but they're going to be talking about their trip for a long time to come. But lots of sponsors on that, Omega, Moet, Google, a variety of companies at all, Moet Hennessy, all those were in conjunction with their team and flying around the world. I did notice that they weren't holding up the bottle of champagne this time because they were in the UAE and probably no alcohol allowed. So that didn't happen, but congratulations to Andrew Borch and Bertrand Picard for making the complete trip around the world. And of course, the trip was delayed here in Honolulu for almost a year, and we had lots of opportunities to talk about that on previous shows. Hey, if you've got comments about today's show, I really want to hear from you. And we're trying to supercharge the show to make it super fun for you to be on board. Geeknews@gmail.com is the place to send your email messages to, geeknews@gmail.com. And of course, you can follow me on Twitter. Thank you for supporting our sponsor, GoDaddy, and continue to support our sponsor, GoDaddy. It is greatly appreciated. And we got two kids in college, and you guys that have got two kids in college at once, you know what's going on there. So, definitely the revenue helps a lot, keeps the family fed, keeps my lights on, keep gas in my car, the whole nine yards. So, definitely appreciate your ongoing support. It is humbling and very appreciated. But for those of you that have been on YouTube with us and on Facebook and on live stream, thank you for tuning in today. I'll be shutting down the streams, and feel free to leave comments. We want to hear from you as well. If you're listening in later, I'll be back with you on Thursday with another show here at the Geek News Central Podcast. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.